Welcome to Lakeshore Update. I'm Dee Dodson. On this edition of the podcast, you'll hear the latest on the request from the Lake County 911 Dispatch Center. State health officials say Indiana's coronavirus cases have surged by more than 300 to nearly 1,000 statewide. Governor Eric Holcomb is pleased with the progress with his stay-at-home order, and Chris Noti has a conversation with Attorney General Curtis Hill about warnings against scams during the COVID-19 crisis. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. State health officials say Indiana's coronavirus cases have surged by more than 300 to nearly 1,000 statewide as seven more deaths were reported, bringing the state's total to 24 amid the pandemic. In all, 24 Hoosiers have now died from the respiratory disease, up from 17. Data shows Lake, LaPorte, and Porter counties collectively have recorded at least 55 active cases, with Lake County now reporting 47 of those cases. By Friday, the Indiana State Department of Health said the state's number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 grew by 338 to 981 across Indiana. State officials insisted Thursday that Hoosiers abide by Governor Eric Holcomb's stay-at-home order to rein in the coronavirus spread and not take advantage of its travel and work exemptions. Holcomb's order took effect Wednesday, March 25th.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
The Lake County 911 Dispatch Center asked of residents to please not call 911 to report a person walking outside. On Wednesday, the Dispatch Center announced that stay-at-home violations do not necessitate a call to 911. The center noted there are many allowable exceptions to the stay-at-home order, which can be found at www.in.gov. If a resident is concerned that someone is endangering public health and willfully violating Governor Eric Holcomb's order, they can contact the non-emergency number at 219-660-0000.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
Governor Eric Holcomb says he's pleased by the progress with his stay-at-home order since it took effect Wednesday. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports that's despite many questions about how it's working and whether people are following it.
Holcomb says the proof is in the pudding when looking at traffic patterns, for instance, to determine whether his stay-at-home order is working.
It's all in an effort to get through this so that 100% can go back to work, not just the essential companies.
State Police Superintendent Doug Carter says he's gotten a few reports about police stopping people asking for proof that they're allowed to be out under the stay-at-home order.
There is no need in Indiana, anywhere in Indiana, in any city, any county in Indiana, where you have to have a document explaining that you're essential or not.
Carter urges people who feel they've been wrongly targeted to report that to the state police. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
Indiana election officials have started contemplating whether voters might need to cast all ballots by mail for the state's primary election because of the coronavirus pandemic. The State Election Commission voted unanimously Wednesday to delay Indiana's primary by nearly a month to June 2nd and give all voters the option to submit mail-in ballots. The state's Republican and Democratic chairman agreed last week with Governor Eric Holcomb to move the primary from its scheduled May 5th date. The Election Commission chairman said it would meet April 22nd to discuss, quote, moving to a vote-by-mail election if necessitated by the public health crisis.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
Nearly 3.3 million Americans filed to receive unemployment benefits last week,
The most ever in 1 week, according to the Department of Labor. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Justin Hicks reports that number includes almost 54,000 Hoosiers, as many businesses temporarily shut down due to the coronavirus outbreak.
Compared to the same week last year, many Indiana counties saw an unemployment increase in the thousands. The biggest spike was in Clark County, where unemployment claims increased just shy of 10,000%. According to the Department of Labor, the main industries affected were food services and accommodation, with entertainment, transportation, warehousing, and manufacturing taking big hits, too. Rachel Blakeman is the director of the Community Research Institute at Purdue University, Fort Wayne. She says a vast majority of the unemployment claims filed in Indiana were driven by service industries that were placed on a temporary pause.
But we do know that there are jobs out there. The question is, how willing are workers to pivot, knowing that, frankly, restaurants are going to come back?
She anticipates this won't be a one-week blip and that unemployment numbers will continue to grow throughout Indiana's stay-at-home directive. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Justin Hicks.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Indiana Workforce Development Commissioner Fred Payne says help is coming for the self-employed and independent contractors. Payne says the federal aid package coming through Congress allows those workers to apply for unemployment benefits. It also extends the maximum amount of time someone can access unemployment from 26 weeks to 39. Payne urges people who have questions to visit the state's website, unemployment.in.gov, and he says they can call the Department of Workforce Development if their questions still need answers.
We will get to every call, but we do have some call delays because of the taxing that's being put on our system to make sure that we get back to people quickly.
Payne says it takes about 21 days to get a check after a person applies for unemployment benefits.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Help is on the way for Hoosier small business owners and families devastated by the economic downturn caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Adam Pinsker tells what the $2 trillion package means for you.
Senator Todd Young says the relief package, approved by the Senate early Thursday morning, allows small business owners with 500 or fewer employees to take out a loan of up to $10 million.
It's the belief of the Secretary of Treasury that by the end of next week, we could see the small businesses being able to receive those loans from their local businesses, banks, and credit unions.
Young's office says the loans may be used to pay for employee health benefits, payroll, utilities, rent, and mortgage interest. Farmers are also eligible to apply for the loans. Young says he believes that individual Hoosiers will get direct cash payments from the government by April 6th, as planned by the Trump administration. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Adam Pinsker.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
The March 23rd order from Governor Eric Holcomb that directs everyone to stay at home through April 7th to help stop the spread of the coronavirus has a few exceptions. Lakeshore Public Radio's Sharon Jackson spoke with Lake County Sheriff Oscar Martinez Jr. about what the order means.
So I wanted to ask you about the stay-at-home order. Can you kind of break that down and tell the folks what that means in terms of what exceptions there might be?
Well, yes, today's order of the governor directs everyone in the state to stay at home at least till April 7th, except for necessary travel. Now, the people can still travel for things like buying groceries, getting prescription or medical supplies, and buying carryout meals and taking care of family and friends. Residents are also that want to participate in outdoor recreation, as long as that they stay 6 feet away from each other, can do so as well.
So they can still go to the grocery store and get takeout and get medical supplies and things like
that.
Yep.
You know, go to work, go to the hospital, the doctors to check on family and friends, take your dog out for a walk. So long as, you know, you exercise common sense and follow the governor's directive, you should be fine. We believe that the residents of Lake County will use common sense when it comes to this directive. And we all have a responsibility to ourselves and to each other to do what we can to help and stop the spread of new coronavirus or COVID-19.
So what happens if someone's caught out and about and they're not doing the...
Well, that's a good question. As far as enforcement, staying at home is critical to reduce the spread of COVID-19. The governor has stated that the Indiana State Police will work along with local law enforcement to enforce the order. But we are counting on the citizens to join in the efforts to help stop the spread of this potential deadly disease. The Indiana State of Health and Alcohol and Tobacco Commission will enforce the bars and restaurant restriction, though.
And what is an essential business? Do you know anything along those lines?
Well, the governor laid out several essential businesses that are exempt from the executive order: law enforcement, first responders, child protective services, grocery stores, mechanical places to make sure your vehicle is still functioning if you need to get it repaired. The restaurant, places that sell food, can also stay open, but so long as it's carry out or drive through. So those are the essential. Grocery stores as well to buy supplies. CVS, Walgreens to get prescriptions. So those are essential type businesses and organizations or government entities as well to continue government functions. Of course, like the public safety, the sheriff's office, the clerk's office, the treasurer's office, the auditor's office. It's up to each elected official to determine who is essential and non-essential employees and what restriction they'll have as far as coming in to work or keeping open for a public necessity. I can tell you the Lake County Sheriff's Department will continue to be open to the public Monday through Friday from about 8:30 to about 4:30 p.m. Public access to the Sheriff's Department will continue to be available for only law enforcement matters and essential administrative matters and mandatory reporting requirements. So as far as public safety in the Sheriff's Department, you may get word that the government buildings are closed, but according to the governor's orders and just common sense, public safety is always ongoing and never shuts down.
How have things been at the Sheriff's Office and the Sheriff's Department since this thing began?
Well, it's been kind of hectic, but we got good people in place, good commanders, chief of police, great officers here. We've also taken precautions to protect our law enforcement officers. We have distributed things like hand sanitizing gels, wipes, as well as cleaning solutions for our officers. And we have also placed supplies throughout the department to keep not just our officers, but our staff healthy and sanitized. So we've been working hard to keep everyone healthy, to still provide the public service and safety that we need to for our citizens. And, you know, just hope that everyone, you know, complies to the directive. We all have to pitch in. We all have to help and stop the spread of this virus. And just, you know, praying for all this to be over soon.
Do you have any idea of when it might be over?
Well, right now we have the governor's directive effective all the way to April 7th. And I have put out my police officers on call-out status in case of emergency for the next 2 weeks. I have put out a moratorium on sheriff sales, enforced evictions, and writ of assistance for the next 2 months. The last thing I want to do is force people out of their homes when we're trying to keep them indoors and sheltered in place. So I did issue a moratorium on that, and things will, you know, start back up after 2 months after we assess the situation, see what the government and our state officials say, and take it from there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Anything else you want to add?
No, just everybody be safe. Use common sense. You know, keep yourself clean and sanitized, and, you know, stay home. Help prevent the spread of the disease. And the more we follow these directives, the faster we can get through this.
Well, thank you so much, Sheriff. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Stay safe and healthy. God bless.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Here's regionally speaking host Chris Nolte with a conversation with Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. As we continue coverage of COVID-19 here in Northwest Indiana, we have some great advice from Indiana's Attorney General Curtis Hill about some very important matters that citizens, no matter where you live in the Hoosier State, should take note of. And we have A.G. Hill with us. Thank you for joining us on the program today, sir.
Thank you, Chris, for having me.
Well, first, let's start out here with a concern about the scams. Well, you know they're out there. It always seems to be that there are people out there who do their best to take advantage of the least possible opportunities, that I guess, maybe for other people to be able to survive in some cases. But certainly they're playing on the role of opportunities that are taking away from people here in Northwest Indiana in particular. Tell us about the concern about scams that are out there.
Well, you know, we have concerns about scams on a regular basis, and the most vulnerable among us, the seniors, are the ones who are typically victimized and targeted for these scams. And when we have particular times like we have now, where there's an emergency or some type of a crisis, those folks are even more vulnerable, and we're seeing that today. We're seeing particular scams such as utility scams. You're at home, your phone rings, and it's someone representing to be the local utility company suggesting that you're behind on your bill, and if you don't pay it right away, then we're going to shut your power off. And you can imagine someone that's elderly under the circumstances where they're shut in and concerned about going out and venturing into this area where they might get a disease, being told that they're going to have their power shut off. These are actual complaints that we're receiving right now that's mm-hmm. related to this particular coronavirus. Mm-hmm. We're also seeing scams coming across home at work scams, recognizing that so many people are now confined to their homes, getting communications either by the phone or across the web, suggesting that there's an opportunity, a home-based opportunity to work from home. Only problem is it requires you to pay something to be a part of it. And these are the types of scams that we typically have. And because of the dynamic of scams in the sense that they're distanced, it's not like someone is standing right next to you and you can grab them. Many of these originate from overseas. So our ability to bring people to justice is very limited. So what we try to do is make sure that we get people to notify us of the various scams that are out there so that we can create alerts and inform people on how to not be victimized by some of these misadventures. Mm-hmm.
Are you noticing in the information that you get there in the offices that these are scams that are not only being perpetrated on the telephone but also online as well?
Absolutely. The folks who do these things will take whatever means they can get. So that's why on a daily basis you'll get a barrage of phone calls that some of them even look like they could be coming right from your neighborhood. That's how sophisticated the technology is. So you'll get the phone calls where people try to break you down, get information from you. They want to connect personal information that will then allow them to access your financial information. Mm-hmm. And it's very complex. On the internet, they'll do the same thing, and you will get, and this happens to everyone, you'll get emails that look like emails you ought to get, and everyone has to take a great deal more care about what they open, what they click onto, because every time you click onto something, you're potentially accessing for someone else personal information about you. It's very distressing, and to the point where it's happening on a regular, continuous basis.
I also know, too, that there's also concern that Hoosiers are getting information about fraudulent products that in turn might help take care of the coronavirus or at least mitigate its effects, the side effects, and the symptoms. But there's no such thing as that out there, at least not for now, right?
Well, that's why we have to pay careful attention to the news out there. I mean, this is an ongoing moving target. And people are concerned about catching the virus, concerned about what the treatment is. Well, as of the moment we're speaking right now, there's not been released a treatment or cure or pill or magic dust or anything of that nature mm-hmm. That helps in this regard. So if you get a phone call or you get a communication on the email that suggests otherwise, stay away. Do some research. Make sure that you've identified on reputable websites or through legitimate government programs that there's some legitimacy behind any of this before you start pulling out your wallet and paying for products. That's one of the most painful aspects of this, is that people are trying to preserve their assets in this dire situation, and you've got people out there working twice as hard to relieve them of it.
Oh, that's right. That's true. We're talking, by the way, with Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill about some of the things that you, as an average Hoosier, should know about as we are all dealing with the effects of the coronavirus, COVID-19, as the illness as ELF is called. And one other thing we kind of talk about that as well here, Mr. Hill, is talking about the possibility you can get scammed when you think you're trying to help out your neighbors financially.
Well, you can. I mean, Hoosiers are great at encouraging charitable contributions and making contributions in times like these. And you would think that that would be an area that even bad people would stay away from. Not so, Chris. Mm-hmm. It's not unusual for someone to get scammed on a charity that they thought was legitimate. Someone uses call letters or a name that's very similar or even identical the name of a reputable or known charity, but in the address of the email, there's a glitch or a distinction. And so what we tell people is, when you get a phone call about a charity, when you get an email about a charity, and you feel like giving, it's okay to give. Just don't give right away. Stop, take your time, disengage, go back in on your own time, and look these organizations up. Make sure that you're dealing with who you believe you're dealing with, and take whatever time you need to take to get that done. And don't make cash contributions. Once the cash is out the door, that's done. Yeah. Write a check, or stop payment if you find out within a certain period of time that it was a scam. Use a credit card. You can delay that transfer through the credit card if you need to. But by all means, don't make an immediate contribution upon receipt of a phone call or an email to even what appears to be a reputable charitable organization.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have listed here four different sites that are available if you're not clear about a charity, whether they're reputable or not, or whether their website is even reputable or not, that you have them listed here. Will you give those four to us so we can make note, and we'll,
sure,
we'll look for those and watch those. If we have questions, if they pop up in our minds, if we get the phone calls or if we get the emails about that, this way we can jump on these websites and check these places out.
Sure. Well, there's four of them. One is give.org, G-I-V-E, give.org, then guidestar.org.
Mm-hmm.
There's charitywatch.org, and that's charitywatch as in one word, and charitynavigator.org. And those are sites where you can check on the legitimacy of the organization, and go beyond that. I mean, the wonderful thing about the web is that you can do your own homework, your own research, and identify what's happening. And we can't encourage that enough. We have a pandemic that we're addressing. And from my standpoint, Chris, I firmly believe in the spirit of Americans. This is a down time, but we're going to turn this around and rise above it. And we need to look past the potential economic downturn that people are facing just from a few weeks of being shuttered, and we can't continue to go forward and accept this type of assault from those who would bilk us from our financial security. So it's important that we stay strong. It's important that we maintain our financial integrity and not allow ourselves to be victimized by these scammers.
Now, Mr. Hill, if somebody has had been scammed, if they've been victimized, there is a place you can go. In fact, the Attorney General's office is the good place to start. Tell us where folks can get hold of you folks in Indianapolis or online, and let them know about if they've been price gouged or if they've been bilked in one way or the other.
Absolutely. A significant portion of the Attorney General's resources is dedicated to consumer protection. We have an entire consumer protection division that operates every single day to address these types of issues, whether it's an emergency circumstance or not. So we invite and encourage the public to contact us directly. I'll give you the website and the phone number. It's IndianaConsumer.com. IndianaConsumer.com will put you in touch with our Consumer Protection Complaint Division. And you can also phone us at 1-800-382-5516. That's 1-800-382-5516. And our intake folks are well-trained on taking your information about a complaint. We'll evaluate it. And if we will gather that information, and that information is what leads to our fraud alerts. But we also do everything we can to assist our consumers when they've been built, or even when they think they're in the process of being built. We can provide information and guidance on what not to do.
Well, thank you for that advice on these issues involving citizens in Indiana and the effects of the coronavirus and COVID-19 on us. And we appreciate your help, and we will look for the websites, and if there's advice out there, we will take advantage of that. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you. Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill. This is Regionally Speaking.
Regionally Speaking with host Chris Nolte can be heard each Monday through Thursday at noon on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local host Chris Nolte. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure you search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by bensound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Dee Dotson.